Did you crouch that button? Don't start ahead because it's not a digital, so we only have one side.
The pasuk in last week's parsha says, "Ki kari velecha hadavar moed b'fichu v'vav chalasaisa." This, whatever the pasuk is referring to, is close to you, and very close to you, in your mouth and your heart, that you're able to do it. And the Ramban, the famous Ramban, learns that it's going on tshuva. And it's hard for us to understand how is it that the pasuk seems to be saying that it's so easy for us. Not only that, there's a medrash that the medrash talks about. The Medrash says that someone who doesn't do tshuva, someone who doesn't learn Torah, is so lazy, it's as if they have food in their mouth, and because they're lazy, they don't swallow the food. So, which is very hard to understand. We know that tshuva and Torah is one of the hard things that we have to overcome. So when I was in 8th grade, I went to Lakewood for Shabbos. So we went to Ramakil Kotler's house. So he sat over this medrash, and he was sitting by a nice, big, long dining room table. So he said that the pshat in the medrash is like this. He says, let's say there would be a nickel on the other end of the table. And I wouldn't get up and pick it up, and if I don't do it, I'm going to lose the nickel. So he says, you could call me lazy, or you could say, not so lazy. If there's $10 there, then I'm pretty lazy, because it's kedai to get up, walk for 5 seconds, get $10. If there's $1,000,000 there, then it's not just that I'm lazy, it's the most lazy thing you've ever seen in your life, that someone's because he's just, you know, too tired to go walk to the other end of the room. So he told us that if we would realize the value of Torah, the value of tshuva, then even though it's hard, we'd be able to push ourselves. Which at that point was a very good schmooze for a young bachur. Because you still have sheifas, you're still not so living in reality, and you hear a speech and it tells you about the importance, how it is, and if you'll be machshavit, you'll be able to overcome everything, and it pushes you forward. So for an adult, it works sometimes. The problem is that at a certain point, you start to realize that if I would be machshavit the way I should, so it would be easy, but I have a problem before that. I have a problem that I'm not machshavit as much as I should. So get me to point A, then you tell me if I get to point A, then point B would be easy. But get me there. How am I supposed to get to the first step of being machshavit? How do I do that? You're basically telling me it's very hard, but if it's important enough, you'll be able to do it. So I heard another mashal from Rabbi Lapyansky in Silver Spring said over an interesting mashal, which this is possible for us just to shift to somewhat perspective, and it'll make it easier for us. He said, let's say you're in the gas station 12 o'clock at night, you're getting gas, and there's 3 shvaritzes there, you're not too scared of them, but you're not so comfortable. All of a sudden, the wind blows $100 bill in between you and them. So it's not worth your risk to go get the $100. You're looking at it, they're looking at it. You're going to give them the grace that they could pick it up. But let's say it was your $100 bill and it flew out of your pocket, even though none of them noticed it fell out of your pocket. You're going to go ahead and you're going to pick it up. Aye, logically, there's no difference. $100 bill, that's hefker. or $100 bill that was yours, it's either worth the risk or not worth the risk. The answer is that we humans don't always work with logic. We work with emotion. Is that if when something that's yours you don't want to lose, but to gain something that you want to gain is maybe some you'll risk less, but to not lose something you'll do a lot more. So tshuva, most of our time our perspective is it's Elul, it's coming Rosh Hashanah. I want to get better. So if our perspective is I want to get better, so then there's a lot of things that stop us. But if we translate the word tshuva a little differently, if tshuva means to return, to get back, and we'll look at it as really I am a tzadik gomer, but the Yetzer Hara comes and does things to me. So then, if we shift our perspective and we look at it, but the averis that I'm doing are things that the Yetzer Hara is taking away from me, then we'll put in a lot more effort to not let the Yetzer Hara take it away from me. That was Rabbi Lapyansky's mashal. I had a small isafa on the mashal. When I heard the mashal, I was learning Masach to Shabbos. So there's a halacha Masach to Shabbos. If you're carrying your wallet on Erev Shabbos and there's no Erev, you're allowed to continue carrying it. You have to walk pachas midal ramas. There's a Gemara later. The Gemara says that if your wallet's on the floor, the wallet's mukta. You have to get a whole sugya kikar itinik. You put a piece of bread on it and then you're able to carry the wallet. So the Ramban says, when are you allowed to carry the wallet itself and when do you need to get a piece of bread? So the Ramban says that even if something's yours, once it's on the floor, Chazal could tell you, go get a piece of bread, go get a kikar itinik. But if you're holding it in your hand, you're not going to listen to Chazal if they tell you, put it down. I'm holding my wallet. You want me to put it down? That you're not going to listen. So, we could be according to that Ramban, we could be medayek to psukim a little more. It's not only Rabbi Lapyansky's mashal that it's your $100 bill on the floor that the Yetzer Hara grabbed and you're trying to get it back. It's even further. It's you're holding on to the money. It's beficha uvavavcha. You have it in your hand and the Yetzer Hara is grabbing it away. And if we shift to that perspective, then we'll be able to fight the Yetzer Hara with much more strength and much more confidence that he's taking away my thing. But still, even after we get a Osiris, the problem with all the Osiris is that we need to put it into something tangible. Because Osiris comes, Osiris goes, and the Ramban and Shashim, he says, whenever you have a Osiris, you should put it into something tangible. So come with a few practical aids about just to be able to at least win some of the fights with the Yetzer. We all know it says that the Yetzer, Chazal say two lishainas about the Yetzer every day. Every day is Yitzrim mizgaber alav b'chol yayim. The Yetzer strengthens itself against you every day, and Yitzrim mischadish alav b'chol yayim. He comes new to you every day. So what's the what is Chazal coming to say? What's the two types of Yetzaras? Misgaber olav b'chol yom, he comes with strength, and mischadish olav b'chol yom, renews. So Rebbeinu Snaipshitz in Yair Stvash, he explains that there's two types of Yetzaras. There's a Yetzahara that the Yetzahara has to come with full strength. And he has to build up a case, and he has to really, really come with all his power. Why? Because there's absolutely no reason you should listen to him. He says, Lamashal, someone's davening, and he should daven without kavana. Why? Good, some days you have a real thing you're trying to work out, but other days you're just dreaming. So what's the point in dreaming? You don't gain anything. Or even more than that, he says, to go learn during Chazar Sashatz. That's an absolute paradox. Learning is because Hashem wants me to learn, and now he doesn't want me to learn, so why are you learning? or he says small other things that are very important, but don't take too much effort to do. He's talking back then, it was a more of a problem. Nowadays, it's still somewhat. To make sure your tefillin are kosher, to make sure everything, it's black, the batim, the ritzuis, it could be the difference between keeping a mitzvah and not keeping a mitzvah. And so why not? So how lazy could you be that you don't want to check it thoroughly one day or every couple of months and make sure that your tefillin are kosher, make sure it's in the right spot? So those type of yetzaras, is the yetzar has to be mizgabri, has to come with all his strength to convince you not to do it and to get you not to focus on it. Because the second you focus, he has a lost battle at hand, because there's no reason you should listen to him. So that's the mizgabri. Those averis that the second you focus, you win.
No-brainers.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's no, always the Mishnah says, schar mitzvah can I get, schar aver can I get, say that what will I gain? So stealing $1 million, you gain $1 million. You're not supposed to steal. Whatever it is, different yetzaris, you gain geshmak of food. But certain things is, what are you gaining? Just focus. So there the yetzar has to really use all his strength to be mezgaber. Then, there's the yetzar mezchadish. Those are the types that we have. Food, arise, all types of different types that we have. But the thing is, no matter how good the food is or how good whatever the type is, the derech avelam hazeh is that if you have it every day, you get sick of it. Even the best steak, if you're a counselor in a camp and every night you got a barbecue steak, after 2 weeks you don't want to touch it anymore. I myself, I work in a hotel, Pesach, it's shmack of food, but by the time the end of Pesach comes, it's too much. And with all Yetzaras, is the more you have it, you get sick of it. So the Yetzara just has to do one thing. The Yetzara has to be mischadish. He has to somehow get you to convince you, you know, your taivas gufnias that you beatsam have, it's geshmak, it's a little different, it's new, it's something new. So that's the two types of yetzaras. There's the mezgaber that he needs to come with his full strength. Then there's the mezchadish that you be'etzem have. It's human nature to desire these type of things, but you could get sick of it. But if the yetzar is mezchadish, so then you have a stronger yetzar. So on the yetzar of mezgaber is really where the Yetzirah is using his full strength. On those Yetzirahs, we have a very easy way to win the Yetzirah. We just need a focus. It's not kedai to do too many things at once, but you take a few things, and you say, Ribbono Shel'olam, Ad Kan, that's it. Why should I listen to him anymore? This is what I'm going to do this year. If a person, other years, people, I know I made big Kabbalahs, more Kavana by davening. So more Kavana by davening is a very good thing, but it doesn't last, and there's nothing concrete, and after a while you forget, and it comes next to Rosh Hashanah, you don't even remember why you were Makabal. Even though the Kabbalah is good, or to try speaking less Lashon Hara. It's very good, you're supposed to always try, but you don't feel a concrete that I won the Yetzar on something. But right, yeah, so the... Right, yeah, no, so there is always taking things in small increments is a very good idea. But you still... Kavana is, in a certain way, you're going to sometimes win, sometimes fail. You're not going to come with the knockout punch against the HRI one. So... But other small things, I know I myself, it was hard in the beginning, but I was makabel last year not to learn during Chazaras HaShatz, because I was used to it. That's how we're brought up, and there's a theorem and these things, and as long as you're makabel by the Amen. And it was hard in the beginning, but once you do it, there's absolutely no reason to there's no type, there's no gain to learn on Chazor Shatz. There's no way the Yetzirah could convince you. You just have to focus and say, okay, this is my Kabbalah this year, and I'm going to do that. So I was looking at the old drashas of the Gedalei Achreinim of the Rebbeinu Sinaipshitz, and I saw the Tzlach had a more comprehensive list. Their drushes were much more practical than now. Nowadays, most of the drushes are very hesiristic, but they're not talking about practical halacha. The Tzlach had a list of a couple of practical halachas that a person could be makabel, and then, even though it's small, and it's not the biggest halacha, and it's a mitzvah kala, it's a derabon, and it's, but on the other hand, if we win, the Yetzirah in one thing, we get the momentum that, look, I have the power to win the Yetzirah, and then hopefully we'll be able to move forward from there. The Chavos HaBavli says, the smallest battle that you win the Yetzirah should never be small in your eyes, because if you win a small battle, you'll be able to win the big battles, and the smallest victory that he has against you shouldn't be small, because if he wins one battle, he continues to win more battles. So, I happened to mention learning Chazor HaShatz, that was the first one, and making sure you're tefillin are kosher, but let me just a few examples that the Tzlach brought down that was going on for a nice amount of time. That Mayim Achreinim. It is good if someone's from a Yakish family, could be, but most of us it's a chiv. Well, before you bench, you have to wash Mayim Achreinim. And you're not allowed to talk between Mayim Achreinim and benching. Not only talking, you're not supposed to make a big hefsek. Right after you do Mayim Achreinim, you're supposed to start the bench. So this is a halacha that things happen and we get used to it, and sometimes we forget, and sometimes we talk. But there's not too much gain. Once in a while, you buy someone else's house, you did Mayim Achreinim, and everyone's talking, good, so you did it by mistake. But in your house, where you're the balabas, so tell the Yetzar, it's all right, I want to do my Machreinim, La Halacha, and this is my Kabbalah this year, and I'm going to win you totally. Every Suda, I'm going to wash my Machreinim, say Bili Neder, but say that this is my Kabbalah, and then at the, and it comes up, it depends on the diets nowadays, but most people it comes once a day that, you know, I had a Yetzar, I had this, and Rebbeinu Shalom, I came to you on Rosh Hashanah and I told you I'm going to do this, and it's very simple to follow through and we'll feel accomplished that I took something on. Another thing that the Tzlach brought down, that it happens to be Negei now, it's not Negei Yem Yemes. I want to give more examples that are Negei Yem Yemes, but it just happens to be Negei Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot now, about cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That even with the Erev Tavshilin, you need to have the food, that it should be cooked enough that it's ready on Yom Tov to eat if you want to eat. You can't just put up the food right before Yom Tov. So he brought it down. I wasn't going to skip that because it's Negei right now. These few Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, that if someone cooking challah, you have to make sure that it's at least cooked to be edible before Yom Tov. Another, this one I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman from New York. He said, a small halacha, what we consider relatively unimportant, but there's no such thing as unimportant halachas, as taking the knife off the table before we bench. This is such a halacha. Why? Because if we bench with the right kavanah, we're going to be davening about Yerushalayim, we'll be so sad, and the person was so sad he wanted to commit suicide and he hit himself with a knife, so we take the knife off the table. So this halacha that gets overlooked sometimes. But if we do it and we focus on it and we say, so even though none of us are holding there that when we're davening for Yerushalayim we get suicidal, but at least we'll think about it. Let me take the knife off and think, that's how I should be benching. It could change our benching. And being mekayim a small halacha, taking the knife off the table. Another very, very practical halacha, which is very good, because we, a lot of times, it depends on the day how much learning we get in. But there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Beis, if you want, I'll show you afterwards exactly where. When you make the bracha on hamitzi, you should hold the bread with all 10 fingers. Why 10 fingers? Because there's 10 mitzvahs that happen to bread, that happen before you get your final bread. What's the 10 mitzvahs? You have to plow the field, but you're not allowed to plow. B'shar b'chamar yachtav is one. You're not allowed to plow klayim. And you're not allowed to be loisachsim. You're not allowed to muzzle the shar while it's going. Then, leket chikhu pei is 4, 5, 6. Truma, 7. Maaser rishon is 8. Maaser sheni is 9. And chal is number 10. So, this, if a person just says, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is my mitzvah this year, it could change your suda. Before you start eating, you, in your mind, you focused on all 10 mitzvahs. The first 2 or 3 weeks, you, if you want, I'll print it out for you. You'll take out a small piece of paper in this. Then it will become second nature. And every time before the suda, you'll think about 10 mitzvahs that happen, which is limud Torah, which is focusing on. Also, if you do that, you'll focus on how the bread came before you make hamitzi. Thinking of that, it changes the way you make the bracha. Changes your appreciation on how the bread on how much effort it came till the bread came to us, and so much thing. And it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, 10 fingers can I get the 10 mitzvahs?
You need to cover the bread, then only do the tamila.
No, you hold the bread.
Just
with
hold it without putting it
any. No, that's lecha mishnah. Yeah, anytime. And that's a small halacha, which, again, this is the type of halacha that it's the Yetzer Hara has to be mezgaber, because why shouldn't you keep this halacha? But on the other hand, we don't want to take on too many things, because if one takes on too many things, then he loses. But just I gave a few small examples. You take on one or two of them, or pick your own examples, but everyone knows, Levi Yedemar, Snafshe, everyone knows that they have Yetzirahs, that they fail, that it's taka Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah has to be mezgaber, because there's no reason why you should win. And those Yetzirahs, is taka easy to do tshuva. But, on the other, now one more thing is that we have to know is that these halachas, even these small halachas, so if we sometimes forget, is that how it is? But we always have to be looking. Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to try to keep them. Even it's not going to be our Kabbalah on Rosh Hashanah, because we do too much. We want to pass on one. We'll say these two I'm focusing on. The rest, even if you're not focusing on, you have to always be looking out. What is there more halachas to keep? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? And those types of things. The one vert, it says the Arvei Nachala. Reb David Shlomo Eibshitz, he says, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Hamevaze Talmud Chacham, someone who embarrasses a Talmud Chacham, ain refuah lemakasa. There is no refuah to his makah. So the Lashon Gemara sounds strange. It sounds like he already has a makkah. This guy already, there's something, he's already hit. But if he's mevaza talmud chacham, is ain refuah lemakasi, then he has no refuah. What type of makkah, who is this guy that already had a makkah before he was mevaza talmud chacham, that we say he doesn't have a refuah? We don't know who we're talking about. How could you say that he has a makkah before we know who we're talking about? So the Arvei Nachala says a pshat. He says that, well, obviously we're not talking about a Talmud Chacham. A Mevaza Talmud Chacham is someone who is an Amoritz, who's not a Talmud Chacham. So he says, you have a Talmud Chacham and an Amoritz. Each one has a Meila and a Chesaron. A Talmud Chacham has a Meirdik and Meila, because Torah gives you strength to fight the Yitzhar. But he has something very tough on the other side. The Halach is a Talmud Chacham is Shkogos, Shigegas Talmud Eilezadin. If he does something wrong by mistake, by him it's considered a mazid because he's supposed to learn and his whole day he's learning and he's supposed to know what to do. An amaret has a problem that he's not zeichet to learn as much as a Talmud Chacham. And it's much harder to fight the Yetzirah if someone's not Isaac in learning. We know Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Tayotav. But on the other hand, an Amaretz has a big limit chusuiz on him. That by him he doesn't have the problem of Shigegas Talmud Eilazadit. If he makes a mistake, it's called a mistake. So he teaches the Gemara very beautifully. He says, we're talking about an Amaretz that was Mevaza Talmud Chacham. So an Amaretz that was Mevaza Talmud Chacham, so his Makkah is that he can't fight the Yetzirah as good as a Talmud Chacham. But he has a refuah on the side that whatever he did is considered a Shegek. But he says if the person's going around on Mevaza Talmud Chacham, so now he has no excuse anymore that he's a Shegek. Because if you're a Shegeg, you're a Shegeg, and you could go as much, you try to learn, but unfortunately you have to hear this, and you don't hear as much as you should, so you're a Shegeg. But someone who's Mevaza Talmud Chacham, who embarrasses them, and is not much of it, so then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midah K'nagin Midah takes away his excuse of Shegeg. And it's Ein Refuah L'Makasi. Till now, his Makkah was that he wasn't able to fight his Yetzer so strong, but his refuah was that he was a shegeg. But if he's mevaza talmud chacham, then he doesn't have that refuah anymore, and he's going to be nidin kemezin. So nowadays it's not to. Reb Chatzke already said now we don't have so many talmidei chacham, but talmud chacham means the Torah. If someone is always looking to know, so then he has the halacha. He comes, Rabbi Nishlam, Seif Kol Seif, I was a shegeg. But if someone doesn't strive to know, then it's Chas V'Shalom, is Ein Refuah L'Makasid. That's in the Indian of the Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah is Mizgaber Olav B'chol Yom. But the other Yetzirah, the Yetzirah of Mechadish Olav B'chol Yom, which that's the Yetzirah that's the ones we usually try to tackle, which is very hard to tackle, because we know we're always fighting Lashon Hara, Betul Taira, or Taiva, but we're in a constant pendulum that we do a little better, we do a little worse, and those Yetzaharas is very hard to fight, very hard to win. Said that to do it in small increments, but even that has sometimes worked, sometimes doesn't work. One of that Yetzar is very hard, taka very hard to conquer, but Rabbi Nissen Eibshitz says that there's a Eitzah for that Yetzar, because that Yetzar is really, he's doing a shtick on us, he's being mechadish. Really? You get sick of Taiva after you have it long enough. Again. But if it's a Davar Aser, the Yetzar somehow makes it look always gishmak. This guy's if you have steak every day, is like we said before, is you're finished, but a guy who is, you know, every night running in to eat something that he considers trafe, a small candy bar, it's for months and months, he's every day taking, I naturally should get sick of it, but the Yetzirah makes him a chadish olav that it's gishmak. But that, Serbian Sinaipsh says, the Yetzirah is that there's two chidushim in this world. There's the chidushim of the Yetzirah, and there's the chidushim of Chayr. And a person has a certain amount of chidush that he could focus on. So he says the Eitzah is, if a person focuses on Chiddush HaTeira, then the Eitzah doesn't have a keich anymore to be Mechadish Olav B'chol Yom. And it will lose its kishmak, will lose its appeal, all those Yetzahars. But to focus on the Chiddush of Teira, so for someone who's learning a full day is much easier. But for someone who doesn't have the time, so everyone has to know their level, but there's always a person, I just throw out two, three examples, but a person could do once a week the same sugya, take a Sunday or whatever it is, get a chavrusa if you need it, the same sugya, for 8-10 weeks in a row and learn the sugya from the beginning till the end, each person on his level. But then, after a while, learning the same thing again and again, you'll feel that when you're standing online in Walmart, instead of just fighting the tzar, should I look, should I not look, you'll have something to think about. So, but each, I'm just throwing an example, but each person could take what they want. Because a sugya, which is very nageya practically, Hilchos Kedima and Brachos, it's one amud in the Gemara and Brachos, one siman in Shulchan Aruch, it's daf mem aleph amud aleph in Brachos. Person could be makabel on himself. Once a week, he's going to learn that sugya for an hour. He starts with the Gemara, Rashi. If he gets himself a chavrusa with a little bit Aran, Rashba, and then Torah Beis Yosef, Manganaram, Taz, Mishnah Berurah, and it's not a big sugya. It's somewhat not the easiest sugya, but that's what we're striving for. Something that's not so easy, but it's not that complicated that you need years of experience in order to do. And then after a couple of weeks, you'll feel that, hey, something's just walking down the street, something in learning fell into my mind because I was into a sugya. That's one sugya, and that's also a very good sugya practically, because it comes up all the time, and you'll feel that your learning is connected to your day-to-day life, and it's not just the halacha that's connected to your day-to-day life, it's your gemara that's connected, and it makes you focus much more. That's one sugya. Another sugya, this is might be harder because it's very, very hard concepts. The sugya of Bayer is also only one amud and one semen in Shulchan Aruch, but the concepts are much harder. It depends where a person's holding. Those are on Shabbos, the Fayendal, the Shulchan Aruch, semen Shin Yates. And a very, very uncomplicated, easy sugya, which is one semen in Shulchan Aruch, which a lot of kailim they learn it for 2 weeks, but if you do it once a week for an hour, and then you do it for 3 months, you could really master the sugya. Is the sugya of kosher on Shabbos, which is Shabbos of kufir aleph and kufir beis, which is from all these three, I think the easiest. But you could start with the Gemara, the Rif, the Ran. Each person with if you need a chavrusa, if you do it on your own, or sometimes with a chavrusa, sometimes without, and then go to Shulchan Aruch. It's also one siman in Shulchan Aruch, siman Shin Yod Zayin, and then you'll be makabel on yourself that Ribbono Shel Olam, we all try to put into our learning. We try to learn, but I'm going to be makabel this year. I'm going to have one sugya. That sugya is not just going to be learning. It's going to be my sugya of chiddush that I'm going to try to focus, and that's going to be my chiddush. And then after 3 months, you'll see, 1 hour a week you put into it, after 3 months you'll feel confident. You'll go into a kail, Rabbi Blum's kail just learned a few months ago, kaisha, or brachas, everybody learned at some point. You'll be able to feel on par. You'll talk to someone on learning, and you'll say, but I have a kasha over here. You go over to Rabbi Hirschfeld, not just Rabbi Hirschfeld, what do I do in this case? You'll say, in this Gemara, I have a question, and you'll feel at home with it. You'll feel that you have a place in Torah, that you have Chiddush, and Amit Hashem, if we do that, we'll be able to conquer that Yitzhar also of Mizchad Shalav B'chol Yom. Ekshiv Simon Torah.